Well, let's turn back in our Bibles to the book of Hebrews and to chapter 11. And we're going to be focusing this morning particularly on verses 11 and 12. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. And those verses read like this: "By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore." Well, yes, it is 2 months, really, since we have been in the book of Hebrews, and we've been in this great chapter 11. It was good to know that you had a recap, in a sense, and it was good also to hear that somebody had come and approached the passage in a different way last Sunday, both morning and evening, brought different things out of the passage. Isn't it good when we approach Scripture to know that like a multi-sided diamond, the different ways that you look at even the same verses reflect different aspects of God's goodness and God's glory. We've seen, haven't we, what faith is. We saw right at the very beginning what faith is. We described faith, didn't we, as being sure of what we can't yet see, being certain of what we can't yet prove. We reminded ourselves that faith is about believing God and believing God's promises. We began, once we had, in a sense, established what we mean by faith, we began following the apostle as he leads us through Scripture and as he takes us from character to character. And we looked at Abel, and we looked at Enoch, and we looked at Noah. And we began at the end of November this lovely section that speaks about Abraham. And in a sense, it's going to be Abraham who we're focusing on right the way up until verse 19. But this morning, as we focus upon Abraham, we're focusing not on Abraham, but we're focusing on Sarah. We're focusing on the whole question of Sarah's faith and how Sarah, because she believed God, was strengthened, although she was a woman who was in her 90s, to bring forth Isaac and to be that means of the beginning of the great fulfillment of God's promise made to Abraham many years before. And so it's verses 11 and 12 we're going to think about this morning. And we're going to do so under three headings. The first thing I want to say to you this morning is that the Bible commends women of faith as well as men. The Bible commends women of faith as well as men. Now, that might seem a strange thing to say. But, of course, one of the things, one of the barbs that is often aimed at the Scriptures, one of the things that's often aimed at Christians and the Christian church is that the Bible is sexist, that the Bible only focuses on men, that women are always playing the second fiddle, that women are always, as it were, seem to be in the background. And you'll hear it even from pulpits where liberals are preaching, and they'll say, well, you know, the Bible is so misogynistic, it's so patriarchal, it's so man-centered. And we have to say, and we have to admit, that there have been times when the church has been like that, when the church has not given to women the place in the church that they should have, when there has been a chauvinism in the way in which churches operate, and women have been forbidden sometimes to do things that Scripture doesn't forbid them to do. There's been no biblical basis for that. And isn't it good to remind ourselves that at the foot of the cross, the ground is level, whether we are male or whether we are female. Indeed, Paul tells the church in Galatia, doesn't he, that in Christ there is no male and female. That when it comes to salvation, when it comes to God's dealings with us, God deals with us as men and women. And the Bible is not slow to remind us of women of faith and call us to follow their examples as well. This is the first one here in Hebrews 11, but it won't be the only one, will it? Because when we get down to verse 31, there'll be another woman who's picked out. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish. And Rahab's faith is laid out before us here in Hebrews chapter 11. And of course, there are other women who are mentioned, aren't there? Verse 23 reminds us of Moses' parents, Jochebed and Amram. Here's another woman who lives by faith, who's gone into this great gallery of faith because she has trusted God, trusted in God's promises. When we get to verse 35, we read about women receiving their dead raised to life. You see, this gallery is not just a gallery of men. This gallery is a gallery of women too. And if you're a woman here this morning, maybe you'll particularly resonate with Sarah. You have something in common, as it were, with Sarah. And maybe you've been waiting for this lovely Bible character to be the next, as it were, on the list described here in this chapter. And of course, Sarah's big challenge to her faith, the way in which Sarah conquers by faith, is in an issue which affected her and affects women very deeply. Now, when Sarah is introduced to us, right the way back at the beginning of the story of Abraham, right at the end of Genesis chapter 11, the very first thing we are told about her is that she was childless, is that she was barren, that she had no child. And that's a huge issue, isn't it? We recognise that, don't we? Those of us who are men, we recognise when a couple can have a child. It's a big thing for a father. But we also recognise it's a bigger thing for a woman. We see in our society, don't we, the great lengths that people go to. Repeated cycles of medical treatment in the hope that they'll conceive. And for the woman, there is that dreadful feeling, isn't it, that the clock is ticking. And a time is going, and they are longing for children. And Sarah must have been like that as well. Sarah had longed for a child. You know, to be childless in Bible times, in a sense, was even worse. You know, it was your children who were going to look after you in your old age. There's no pension. There's no social security. Children, Scripture tells us, are the fruit of God's goodness and God's blessing. And month by month, as she sought to conceive, the message must have come into her mind, what have I done? Why can't I have a child? And of course, on top of that, God had made that promise to Abraham, hadn't he? He was going to be the father of many. That's what Abraham meant, the father of many. Can you imagine what it must have been like for Sarah? Every time Abraham introduced himself and somebody said, oh, your name is Abraham, father of many. Well, how many do you have? And Sarah is there, isn't she? And she must be thinking, everybody's looking at me and saying, well, why can't you have a child? How can he be father of many? When Abraham's name is changed to father of many nations, that must have been even worse for her, mustn't it? She must have thought every eye was upon her. How is she letting down her husband? Those are the thoughts that must have gone through her mind again and again. And she's having to deal with this. And however much Abraham must have come alongside her and must have put his arms around her and he must have sought to comfort her and to encourage her and to be with her, he's just a mere man, isn't he? She's going through it. She knows. You know, there are times like that, aren't there, in our lives, when it just seems as if other people can't help us. There are times like that, perhaps as a woman here this morning, and you feel, well, you know, I can't tell the pastor this. He won't understand. He's a man. I can't tell the deacons this because they won't understand, because they're men. You may be going through times this morning where you feel like that. Sarah felt like that. And this great story is there for women of every age. And Sarah's faith is commended. Sarah's faith eventually shines through. Sarah's faith is eventually wonderfully and miraculously rewarded. And so this story, in a sense, is a wonderful story, especially perhaps for the women of the Christian faith and for the women of the church. Maybe you're going through a really tough time at the moment. And maybe, like Sarah, you feel nobody knows, nobody understands. Well, isn't it good to know God knew where Sarah was? God knew how she was feeling. And the Bible commends women of faith as well as men of faith. But let's notice something else, particularly if we know the story of Sarah. And that is that the Bible commends faith even when it follows failure. Now, we jumped into two little sections of the Abraham and Sarah story this morning, didn't we? And we jumped into chapter 18, and we saw that part of the story where the promise is repeated to Abraham that Sarah's going to have a child. And Sarah laughs, and it's a laugh of well, mocking in a sense, isn't it? It's a laugh of disbelief. Those visitors who come, commentators have argued and disagreed as to whether one of those visitors who come actually is one of these pre-incarnation visitations of the Lord Jesus. I think there's evidence to suggest that might be the case, but whether or not we believe that or not, what we know is that those visitors who come, they're able to hear Sarah laughing within herself. They challenge her, don't they, about her laughter. They challenge her about her unbelief. They challenge her about the fact that what God has promised, she's not believing. We have to say, don't we, the Bible is honest. The Bible is warts and all, that Sarah's faith is not there yet, is it? Sarah doubts it. Can't blame her, can you? And it wasn't a question of the clock ticking. The clock had stopped ticking years ago. She was well past the age of childbearing. There was no human way in which she could ever have a child. She was 90 plus. How can she have a child? No wonder she laughs. And of course, this isn't the first time that she's made a false start, is she? So if we'd read from chapter 16, we know what she does there, don't we? God has promised to give Abraham a child. And Abraham thought, first of all, that all his inheritance would go to Eliezer, the steward of his household. And God said, no, it's going to be a child that comes from your loins. It's going to be a child that's going to come from your seed. And Sarah thought, that can't be right. I can't do that. I know what I'll do. And she had a maid, didn't she? Hagar. And she says to Abraham, you sleep with my maid. And you have a child with my maid. And then the promise will be fulfilled. Then you will have a child. It will be a child of your own seed. And Sarah, as it were, seeks to give the providence of God a little nudge and seeks to speed things up. She can't see any way that she's going to have a child. So she says to Abraham, you know, you sleep with Hagar. Have a child with Hagar. And, of course, Abraham is guilty, isn't he? Abraham, he's not trusting God's promise to be fulfilled. He's trying to give providence a helping hand. And so he sleeps with Hagar. And sure enough, she conceives. And there's a child. And what a mess now in the household and in the family. Every time pregnant Hagar walked past Sarah, you could imagine how Sarah would have felt. So it is my fault, she says. Nothing wrong with Abraham. It must be my fault. So she's made a slip up there. She makes a slip up in chapter 18. And yet God still works his purpose out. God doesn't give up on Sarah. Though she made some mistakes, her and Abraham together, God still has his plan. And it's not going to be derailed by the mistakes that Sarah makes. You see, God is a God who, even when we fail, and when we fail and fail and fail, he still looks for our faith. He doesn't get rid of us at the first opportunity. Maybe like us, you watched The Apprentice. The Apprentice is back on now, isn't it? And if you've been watching it, if you watched it this week, you'll perhaps have seen the man who was fired for his mistakes when he came back into the boardroom. It was one of those episodes where it was clear, right from the very beginning, who was going to get fired, who was making the big mistakes. And the project manager of the one team made these huge mistakes. And those of us who were sat at home watching and thinking, he's going to go, he's going to go. And sure enough, despite all his protestations, at the end of the program, you know how it works, Lord Sugar's figure came out and said, you're fired. You see, he'd made mistake after mistake after mistake. But God's not like that. God doesn't give us, as it were, two or three mistakes, and then he says, you're fired. He doesn't do that. He's a gracious God. He's a loving God. He's a patient God. And when we look at Hebrews chapter 11, not just Sarah, but every one of these characters, as it were, particularly from now on, they're characters who make mistakes. They're characters who blunder. They're characters who step out of God's path and God's line. And in a sense, we could well expect God to come down and say, you're fired. I'm giving up on you. Sarah, I'm giving up on you. You've made a big mistake here giving Hagar to Abraham. How dare you laugh at my promise? But he doesn't do that, does he? And that's a great encouragement to us, isn't it? Because our lives as Christians are very often really uneven, aren't they? There are times when we walk with faith and our eyes are upon him. But like the disciples of old, aren't they? Like Peter when he gets out of the boat and walks towards Jesus on the water. Sometimes the waves overtake us, don't they? And sometimes we take our eyes off Jesus, don't we? And as a result, we sink. But you see, there are those loving arms, aren't there? And for Sarah, God hasn't given up on her yet. Despite the mistakes, despite the failures, he's still looking for faith. He still wants to commend her faith. So the Bible commends women of faith as well as men. The Bible commends faith even when it follows failure. And then thirdly, we can live by faith because of God's promises. That's what this passage tells us, doesn't it? Now, we're left in a sense with a big question here, aren't we? Because everything we read about Sarah in Genesis is in a sense about her failure, about her laughing. It almost comes as a surprise to us in chapter 21 when she has the baby. And it's very difficult to actually see where the writer to the to the Hebrews gets this faith from. There doesn't seem to be anywhere in Genesis where the evidence is there that Sarah is living by faith and conceives by faith. But when we get to Hebrews, we don't read anything about her failure and about her laughing. And we just read about her faith, and sometimes we scratch our heads. Not the only place in Hebrews 11 where we're told things that don't immediately jump out to us in Genesis. So where was this point? Where does Sarah's laughter turn into faith? Well, we're not told that. I suggest to you, though, that it must be at the end of chapter 20. You notice we read those first few verses in 21 where God kept his promise. God visited Sarah. And now Sarah is laughing again. But she's not laughing in doubt and not laughing in unbelief. She's laughing in the fullness of joy that God has kept his promise and she's now had a baby. And because of that, she calls the baby Isaac, doesn't she? Which means laughter. She's laughing now. She's laughing now out of joy. It's interesting that Genesis 21 obviously follows Genesis 20. Something very interesting happens at the end of Genesis 20. Abraham and Sarah have gone again, and Abraham has failed again. For the second time in the story, Abraham has not trusted God, but he's pretended that Sarah is not his wife. And Abimelech has taken Sarah to be his wife. Abraham has said Sarah is his sister. He'd done that earlier in the story, hadn't we? We read it before. And Abimelech has taken Sarah to be his wife, completely unaware that actually he's taken somebody who belongs to somebody else. And God comes, doesn't he? And what we read when we get down to the end of the chapter is that God had closed up all the wombs in Abimelech's household. So his children and the servants and everybody who was part of Abimelech's household, God had closed up the wombs because Abimelech had taken somebody else's wife, even though he'd done it innocently, even though he'd done it without realizing, even though he'd only done it because Abraham had not been truthful with him. God had shut up all the wombs. And then in verse 17, Abraham prays to God, and God opens the wombs again. The wombs that he'd shut, he opened. And Sarah saw that. And it's interesting, isn't it, that the story of the opening and the closing of wombs at the end of chapter 20 is followed by the story of an opening of a womb in verse 20, in chapter 21 and verse 1. Maybe that's the clue. Maybe, I can't prove it to you. It seems to be the best solution. Maybe up until that point, Sarah was still laughing. She was still dubious. She was still uncertain. She still wasn't trusting God. And then she saw what God did in Abimelech's household. And she realized, here's a God who closes wombs and who opens wombs. And maybe it was at that point when, as it were, the spiritual penny dropped and she said, yes, I do believe. I can believe. God really will do it. And then in verse 21, chapter 21 and verse 1, we read, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and he opened her womb. That womb that he never thought was ever going to be open. It's interesting, isn't it, that in Hebrews 11, her being able to conceive is linked to faith. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive. You see, it's almost as if when she comes to that place of faith, and it's by coming to that place of faith that God comes and he gives her the strength to conceive. And this woman who's 90 years old suddenly finds herself pregnant. And 9 months later, she's laughing. And she's laughing with the joy of a new mother. Perhaps that's how Sarah went from that place of unbelief to that place of faith. It's very often how it is with us, isn't it? God tells us something. He promises us something. He leads us in a particular way. And we find it so difficult, don't we? And then we see what God does with somebody else. And that's an encouragement to us. And we say, well, yes, if God did that there, he can do that for me. If God did that in that place, he can do that here. And Sarah comes to that place where she believes and she trusts. And she judges him faithful who had promised. You see, here we are again. What is faith? It is believing the promises of God. It is taking God at his word. It is saying, if God has said it, I believe it and I live by it. And even though I can't see the evidence for it now, I'm going to believe. Even though I can't prove it, I'm going to be certain of it. It's interesting, isn't it, how verse 12 is phrased there. Therefore, from one man, him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude. Why does it say that there? Well, because you remember when God came to Abraham first, he said to him, your descendants will be like the stars in the heavens. The stars that are, as it were, uncountable, innumerable. That's what your descendants are going to be. Even though Abraham's an old man, even though Sarah's an old woman, that was the promise. But you see, God's promise is always kept. Let me tell you about the greatest promise that God ever kept. That was in the giving of his son. You know, one of those lovely things that we see as we go through the Old Testament is that when God is going to do something special, he very often makes a childless woman pregnant. So you have it here, don't you, with Abraham. We'll have it with the story of Samson in the book of Judges. God is going to raise up a deliverer. And he raises up a deliverer from a woman who is infertile, a woman who is childless, a woman who's long given up hope of having a child. Think about the story of Samuel. You remember Hannah? Hannah, how she longed for a child. How Elkanah's other wife seemed to be able to have children at the drop of a hat, as it were. But she couldn't get pregnant. Do you remember how she comes and prays? God opens her womb and Samuel is born. Think about John the Baptist, born to Elizabeth, a woman who everybody said was barren, was infertile. And yet God is going to do something really great. But of course, when God wants to do the most excellent thing, it's not a postmenopausal woman who gives birth. It's a virgin. You know, there's something even more miraculous about that, isn't there? For a virgin to conceive is more miraculous than a postmenopausal woman to conceive. Because you see, what God is going to do through Christ is far greater even than he did through Isaac or through Samson or through Samuel or through John the Baptist. He's the saviour of the world. And the promise that God made successively all the way through the Old Testament that he was going to send a saviour is a promise that he kept, and he kept it in the most magnificent way. And the promise that he makes to us through Jesus Christ, that if we believe in him, we will be saved, that if we repent of our sins and ask for forgiveness, he'll take our sins away and make us clean. That's a promise that you can build your life upon. The promise that his grace will be sufficient in every circumstance of our lives is a promise that we can build our lives upon. Indeed, we're fools if we build our lives on anything else. Because you see, God is a God who keeps his promises. And you know, Sarah came to that place where she believed the promises of God. And God did for her what he said he would. So my friends, will you do that? Will you renew, in a sense, this morning, your commitment to the God who always keeps his promises? And will you stand on them and live by them until that day when that lovely promise of life eternal by the crystal flowing river with the ransomed we will sing, those promises are worked out and seen even in us.